You are listening to the Experience Points Podcast for the week of November 11th, 2015. And this ain't nothing but an RPG thing.
Nothing but an RPG thing, baby.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Experience Points Podcast. My name is Scott Jester.
And I'm George Alboy.
We're the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net. It is a serious but not humorless conversation about video games.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's about quantity.
That's true.
The most video games.
All of them.
So we're starting this podcast because, George, I feel like not actually knowing that much about it, you ventured into what I consider to be one of the craziest ventures, which is Persona 4.
Yeah, it's funny. Yes, so I have been doing that. I've just been getting into Persona 4.
Yeah.
And by just getting into it, I'm probably like 30 hours into it at this point. I find it really weird that people describe it in that way, because it doesn't... This game does not strike me as the super hardcore RPG.
Yeah.
Even though people talk about it like it's a super hardcore RPG.
Well, I mean, this the theme of this podcast is we realize there's a lot of RPG stuff going on. And so we're going to talk about some stuff in the news, some stuff that we may have been playing, some stuff that we may be not playing. But let's stay on Persona 4 a little bit. I think really it's about the length. Like, it just is infamous for having, like, just 100 hours and, you're just getting started.
I talked to my coworker. Yeah. I asked him, like, oh, you know, how long did it take you? Yeah. What hour age are we looking at? And he was like, I probably finished my first playthrough, which is right there, I think, is like a warning sign. Because there is New Game Plus.
Yes, yeah.
He said 90 hours.
Yeah, because he was just breezing right through.
Your first playthrough.
Yeah.
Right.
Playthrough number one.
I am 30 hours in, so I'm not even... I'm probably not quite 30 hours. I'm probably at like 25.
Yes.
So I still have quite a bit of game to get through.
For the folks at home, summarize Persona 4.
Persona 4 is a high school simulator
that
has some RPG elements tacked onto it.
Yeah, so it's one of those Japanese games that is kind of a relationship simulator. You know, dating sim / friend sim.
Yep.
You have a meter that dictates how close you are.
A social link.
People.
Yeah. Social links. They literally mechanize the social elements of the game.
Yes.
What I think is really cool, though, is the social elements of the game are probably the best parts of the game.
Like, oh, yeah.
The game is just so fucking charming.
Yep.
It blows my mind. Like, I'm really having a good time. Again, I'm not even done, and I'm super excited for Persona 5 now.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like right now I'm in that moment where I guess everybody probably already is, you know? Like, you ever feel like there's something that, like, you find out that someone has never watched Jurassic Park.
And
you go, or never watched Star Wars or something. Mm-hmm. And you go, God, that sucks for you, but I'm almost jealous because you get to go through that experience.
Yep.
I feel like I'm probably going through Persona 4 right now, and everyone else is like laughing.
Look at his childlike wonder.
Yeah. Like, I keep talking about it with my coworkers, and they've all played this fucking game like 5 years ago or something, because this game is super old.
I watched an entire playthrough of it. Let's play style. And so, like, I'm like fairly familiar with the game, even though I've never actually had hands on the controller.
And really, most of the game are those social elements, the story plot, all the kind of stuff.
So, the game opens with your character coming to town as an exchange student.
Yes.
Who did you give a name to Senpai?
So I did. I mentioned this, I think, in a video, or did we talk about this in the podcast?
We may have mentioned it a little bit.
So I accidentally named him George Albor.
Oh, right.
Because I thought it was asking me for the name of my save file.
And you just wanted to name it.
I was sick. Yeah. I wasn't feeling up to it. So I just put in my own name.
Yeah.
And that was really weird for a while. It's gotten less weird.
Well, I mean, you get to know. I mean, people, it's like, oh, thanks, sensei, or like,
yeah, they say senpai and stuff. Yeah, like, yeah, when Kanji like calls me senpai and stuff, I'm like, man, Kanji, me and you, buddy.
Thank you, George Kun.
Yeah. I mean, I'm at that part in the game too where I have to start not hanging out with certain people because I don't have the time. And it's a really weird feeling.
So Kanji's in your...
Yeah, so Kanji's in my group, who is the sort of thug street biker gang guy, who actually turns out to be super nice.
Yeah, he's pretty nice.
Potentially going through some sexuality questions. Oh, yeah,
that was part of his nightmare. Right?
Yes, yeah. Part of his persona nightmare was being revealed as gay, presumably.
Oh, and also the whole point of this game is the dungeons are around the kind of internal emotional struggles of these teens, but you get sucked into a TV screen and that's where the dungeon exists.
Exactly, right.
when the fog comes.
Yeah, when the fog comes. The midnight channel. Down, it was a midnight area in earlier Persona games, or midnight city or something. The whole all reality becomes some sort of thing. Those elements are actually still really fun. I mean, it's a lot of like which element goes against which element.
Do you find it difficult? Like, do you find yourself having to like retry battles and stuff?
Sometimes. Right now, no, because I actually don't go into the TV all that often. Mm-hmm. But when I do, I stay there because there's no hard. So in the game, there's no hard cap that kicks you out.
Yep.
The only thing that forces you out of the TV realm is when you just run out of stamina. Basically, you're out of SP, your spell powers, so you just go home to rest. Which means that you actually don't have to go in there very often. Mm. So most of the time I'm spending my time socializing with friends, building up my social link, reading, going to class or work. Doing homework, sure.
Yeah.
I just got a job at the hospital as a
janitor. Oh, yeah.
And I met the
nurse. Isn't there like a sexy nurse?
There's like a sexy nurse who lays it on real thick. It's super weird.
You can talk with, who's your... Is it your uncle that you're staying with?
Dojima, yeah.
Yeah, who's Dojima's daughter, like the little kid that you're always...
Nanako.
She's
great, man. She's so good.
And she's so sad when you like so don't sad. Hang out with her.
Dude, like I just had a conversation.
Hey, big bro.
I mean, this is, again, like for people who have never played Persona, this is probably a weird conversation. Yeah. For people who have, they're just like laughing at me right now. I just maxed out a social link and now I have a girlfriend, I think.
Oh, yeah. Tell the audience again, who'd you go with?
Yumi. So she's the first person I maxed out. She has a father who is sick in the hospital.
Okay.
And I went to drama class and I met her in drama class and we hung out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I have a girlfriend there. Now that I've reached that social link, there's no more mechanical incentive to build that social link up.
Mm-hmm.
So instead, I've been like, oh, maybe I should spend some time with Nanako.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had a conversation with her that was basically about death.
Oh, yeah.
And she asked you, like, where do people go when they die? And, like, her mother died. And it's actually, like, really dramatically effective. Like,
yeah.
Some of the story elements, when they get serious, are really good. And when it's not serious and it's silly and wacky, it's also really good.
Yep.
I find it really impressive that Persona 4 manages to go back and forth thematically super well.
Yeah. Well, and also... It's just, it's also a testament to the localization because all it is text boxes back and forth. You know, there's some voiceover, but not always. And it's like, I remember thinking to myself that it's one of those things where you have to buy in.
Yes.
Like, you have to invest. You have to be like, okay, I'm not going to be a sarcastic asshole about this. Like, I'm going to do the social link thing. I'm going to pay attention to the story.
Yep.
And like, you're rewarded for that, basically.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, you even have to remember... What days can I do certain things?
Yes.
Like, I can only go...
Oh, it's Wednesday. It's time for practice
exactly.
or whatever.
So yeah, it's like Monday, Wednesday afternoons, that's drama class.
Yeah.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's a lot like real life in this weird way. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I go work at the hospital. Yep. Like, I got everything down.
Yep.
Even the localization, which I think is fantastic,
they
don't bother localizing a lot of stuff. It's
still,
it's taking place in Japan.
It's very Japanese.
Come up, there's crazy tofu.
There's like holidays and stuff like that.
Yeah,
like,
there's holidays. Yeah. They even, like senpai and chan and stuff. Like, they add all these suffixes that unless you're a weeaboo, you're not gonna know. And I kind of like that because it's sort of uncompromising. It's like, you know what? We're gonna localize what we can localize. We're gonna localize the jokes that we think will translate well. But anything that's above and beyond that culturally, we're just going to go with it and hope that you follow along. And I think the game is so oozingly sincere. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so fundamentally, like, sincere about what it's trying to do that it's really hard not to buy in. Who out there among us would play Persona 4 and be like, nah, this isn't for me? I just have a really hard time imagining that person.
I mean, I think the only thing that holds people back is... the time commitment.
Yeah.
And also, there is some density to all of those personas. Like, I'm going to fuse these two together. And, like, what is the difference between, what's the one? It's like Jack Frost or whatever. Yeah, like, yeah, I mean, there's like some like hilarious like personas, and it's like, oh, here's a different type of Jack Frost, but it's kind of the same thing. Should I just fuse them together?
I just made one that was like a fucking a ball of fur with a nose, like a huge nose. Like, they were super weird persona cards.
Yeah, I remember thinking that there was some parts where it's like, okay, I bet if you paid attention, you could really get into this.
Yeah.
But sometimes you can just make up for that with the social link stuff, and like, yeah, you can get close enough.
And, well, and that
like,
goes a long, yeah, way towards pushing you towards that, right? Like, anytime you have a social link, it increases the skill level, or rather the experience when you create a new persona, which are basically the monsters you, yep, can control.
Yeah.
So as a result, I find myself, Yumi, who's empowers sun personas, means that when I have that huge list of personas that I can fuse to make, I just look for the ones that say sun or the ones that say chariot, and then I fuse those ones. And it really makes you able to streamline the more sort of complicated elements of the game.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know. I think it's really great. I'm having a great time.
Yeah, it's cool. I just am really going to be sad when you break up with Yumi to go with Chie because of her terrible, terrible mistake that you made.
I've thought about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I have some decisions to make, I guess. Well, I haven't even met Rise yet.
Oh, yeah, so who Rise, knows, yeah, man? Yeah, Rise was interesting.
That's the one, like, benefit, though, it's young love. These, yeah, things are...
Yeah. It's fleeting. And you're only change. There... And, like, you're just an exchange student. This is like a... Yeah, it's...
Yeah. Well, Yumi... I mean, it's funny, too, because even with that mentality... There was a conversation with Yukiko earlier, and she's like, oh, yeah, I want to get out of Inaba. And I'm like, oh, maybe we have something in common. Maybe I should start like having a relationship with her. It sounds so cheesy when you say it like that, but the game is really super good.
And the thing that I was telling George before we turn on the mics was I gauge his progress by asking him, what is Teddy's status?
Yeah, I had no idea of anything.
I cannot wait.
I feel bad for Teddy, man. Like, he's constantly like lonely and has existential crises.
And he's like always happy to see you when you go into the TV and stuff. Yeah,
like, and he could be like half dying and you leave and he's like, oh, you're going? Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Well, bye.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy that it's a fun experience because like you definitely have to buy into it. But like, I thoroughly enjoyed the Let's Play that I did of it.
It's funny too. So I'm playing on the Vita and I'm not really used to playing handhelds at home. This is probably the first time in a very long time that I've been playing a handheld at home. Like, not been turning on my PlayStation. Yep. I've not been playing Destiny.
Yeah.
To opt instead for just sitting on the couch to play Persona.
That's true social linkage
right there. I've committed, man.
Yeah. Okay, let's switch gears to...
something with gears in it.
I mean, there's a lot of different things. I mean, so I am kind of interested in Mass Effect. I don't know. Have you been following this at all?
A little bit. I've tempted to go on media blackout for Mass Effect.
That was actually one of the questions I was going to ask, because they're making a new Mass Effect. They talked a lot about it at E3.
Yes, Mass Effect Andromeda.
Andromeda.
Coming out fall of next year.
Not to be confused with Gene Roddenberry's Andromeda.
Definitely.
They released another teaser trailer of it with recently. With FemShep, which is by the way. So. Yeah, and like, I think the last... You know, the original Mass Effect trilogy was just the kind of generic dude Shepard. Was that correct?
Or did I think they... so. I think they just showed like him from behind.
Okay.
Or well, they wouldn't show anything.
No, they would have the... Remember, it was like the generic male model, male Shepard? Remember that guy?
Yeah. There was a... that's right. Yeah.
Okay, so I didn't really play the Mass Effect series. I just kind of watched by proxy or whatever. I played Mass Effect 1. And then I realized, oh man, I can't aim this tank unless I'm on a hill.
Right.
And then I was like, well, do I want to do the whole, like, I don't know, whatever.
This is the 90 hours commitment.
Yeah, exactly. But my understanding was that, by the way, we're going to spoil a little bit about Mass Effect here. My understanding was that Mass Effect 3 changed the Mass Effect universe quite a bit.
Yes, I think that's accurate.
So it's like, basically you can like... destroy the machines, embrace the machines, or embrace the hybrid, right?
Or rage against the machine.
I mean, those are the three basic...
Those are the three basic ones, right.
What is... what are we going to do in the Mass Effect universe now? So what are you looking for?
My understanding is that... So you're not playing as Shepard.
Yeah.
In fact, I think the game takes place many, many years after the whole Shepard thing.
Uh-huh.
And it's in a completely different galaxy.
Which is why they're probably calling it Andromeda. Exactly. Because you're right. Like, so far away from
Andromeda Earth. Andromeda is, in fact, a galaxy. Yeah. Right.
Okay.
So My guess is that you'll probably hear them talk about Shepard or whatever, like in whispers, but it's functionally, you know, there's a whole new story, a whole new reboot in that universe. I think that there's a lot of, if you want to be optimistic, I think that there's a lot of reasons to hope that this is going to be a better series, if it's in fact rebooting a series. Yes, of course it's rebooting a series. Than even the first run of Mass Effect, because the universe is established, so they can sort of go in with that ready to go.
Because you don't think they're going to redo all the aliens. And
no, I mean, there probably will be new species, but I don't think they're going to completely scrap all of the species. Two, it's enough farther in the future that you could sort of mess around with the events between, right? So you're not, like, beholden to, oh, you know, the Turian relationship with so-and-so was such and such, right?
And now the Krogans are the scientist race.
Yeah, like, exactly, right? Like, that, nothing wacky like that is going to happen, but you could make it happen if you wanted to. And three, they aren't going to be stuck with what was essentially a sort of, I don't know, like a not super interesting story of Shepard versus this big, ominous, crazy threat.
Those are the Reapers, right?
Like, I think, the Reapers. Yeah. I think you could have a much more complicated story or complicated main story than you had in the first Mass Effect, right? This is sort of maybe what people were imagining when Bungie left the Halo franchise behind and went to Destiny, right? They have the experience building an awesome world. They've got all of the chops, and now they're free to do with it with what they will, right? So maybe that's a reason to be optimistic about Andromeda.
Do you know, or I guess the real question is, would you be interested at all in having the character from the first trilogy impact what's happening here?
Shepard?
Yeah.
You think
they're like wiping it clean?
I personally would rather have it completely clean. Absolutely. I mean, I think that there's, every time you have a reset on something like this, it's the opportunity to just go in completely different directions. I love the Mass Effect series and franchises. I think they do some super interesting things. They talk about really interesting sort of political realities and ethical questions, and they're great. But if you recreate a different story entirely in a different galaxy, then I think that you can talk about something different, right? You're not stuck with, oh, we have to settle the Turian question, or we have to settle this sort of Krogan question line, right? And Mass Effect 3 did that very well. I think it generally closed off all of the larger story arcs about what races were doing, and the,
that was my understanding too, like, they tied up a lot of stuff.
Like the repercussions of things that happened in the first Mass Effect really have a satisfying ending in Mass Effect 3. So Mass Effect 4, I would hope that they would just sort of scrap a lot of those through lines for something else entirely.
Is it true that Mass Effect, like, the difference between Mass Effect 1 and Mass Effect 3 as a game was substantially different? Like, did they change that a lot?
Yeah, I think they changed that quite a bit.
Because
it's mostly inventory and gear.
My understanding, it's still a
third-person shooter.
Okay, because that's what I was wondering. Like, would you be interested in having a different style? Like,
like a platformer?
I don't know. It's like, here's Mass Effect, the RTS. You know, like, I don't know. Like, do you, are you still looking for that?
Something?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, it's like the last thing on my mind. I mean, just like Persona, right?
Because I do all the, you know, the story stuff is what pulls people in.
And BioWare has always been so strong at that, right? Like, I absolutely loved Dragon Age Inquisition. I think BioWare is super great at creating really rich stories, really complicated stories, really interesting people and ethical dilemmas. That's the primary thing. I honestly don't care what way we interact with the rest of the world. Yeah, it'd be weird if it was an RTS, though, I guess.
Well, I mean, I don't expect it to be, but I think my perception is that Mass Effect 3 was a lot more action-heavy than the earlier two games.
I would hope that they would change the mechanics dramatically, because this is the opportunity. Like, what you don't want to do is get stuck doing the same thing.
I should probably try to get in on the ground floor with Andromeda.
I think that's a wise decision.
Because, like, what happened was
we have 1 year to prepare yourself.
I know. Okay, let's talk
presuming about, there's no delays.
Well, which I'm sure there will be, but, like, whatever. It's a big game. Like,
right.
But we'll have plenty of stuff to keep us occupied in between that, because we are days away from Fallout coming out.
Fallout 4.
So let's talk about Fallout a little bit. I have never played through a Fallout game.
Wow. You're like one of a few people in the whole world.
And people are going to be pissed when they hear that, because, like, Fallouts 1 and 2 are like cult classics. You know, like,
So no joke, I was in the elevator at work the other day, and some random, I was talking about Fallout. I was asking my coworker, "Hey, should I pre-order Fallout 4. Because the game is coming out very soon. Yeah. I have no idea. Maybe it'll sell out. I don't know. And I mentioned something like, oh, you know, I didn't really like Persona. I really didn't like...
You're such a goddamn man.
I didn't like Fallout 3 all that much. And he said, you should play Fallout New Vegas. And some random guy in the elevator is like, yes, you should play Fallout New Vegas.
I've actually heard from multiple people that one of their favorite games of all time is Fallout New Vegas.
Right, that New Vegas is a huge improvement over Fallout 3. That's a completely different story. You can go in fresh, all that stuff.
Well, it was also like a huge work in progress. Like, I remember, like, well, I mean, like many Bethesda games, like, they come out kind of broken.
Right.
But Fallout New Vegas went through some, like, pretty hefty, like, improvements and stuff. And now it's, like, one of the best Fallouts.
I mean, maybe I'll play that one day like I'm playing Persona 4. Yeah. I don't know. But anyway, he loves that game, right? So I think that, similar to Mass Effect, there's just a lot of faith that Bethesda is going to make Fallout 4 really, really strong.
Mm. I mean, the last thing they did was Skyrim.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, you know, I don't know. I don't say this to, like, throw shade at you know.
But fuck Skyrim.
I just don't know why Skyrim, of all games, became Bethesda's, like, calling card. You know, like, people are obsessed with that game.
Yeah.
And, like, why... I mean, I guess Morrowind was pretty popular. I guess, like... I mean, Elder Scrolls in general has been, like, fairly popular. But, like, Skyrim is a whole other level.
Well, I think we'd have to talk about open world games, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think that to a lot of people, Skyrim was the closest thing to the promise of the open world game that's ever been produced.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a promise fulfilled in a fantasy setting, which is something that people have wanted for a very long time.
They wanted the kind of... What if WoW looked like a Lord of the Rings world?
I mean, that's
and
the thing,
like,
right?
Here,
like,
it is, you know.
Fantasy worlds are meant to be large scale, right?
Yeah.
Like, they've always, I mean, not all of them, but a lot of them, like from the Tolkien era, right, are all about this massive world and the way that all of these people and things interact with one another. And I think Skyrim was very effective at creating that in that fantasy setting, right? And even just having that be a hint at the greater, right? Because while Skyrim was itself massive, that's just one part of the continent of, what, Tamriel?
Yeah, Tamriel.
So I imagine that there's just, you know, Skyrim holds... I think Skyrim is pretty good, but two...
No, Skyrim is a great game, but it's just kind of funny that it had this, like, mass appeal, you know? Or,
yeah, and I think that's partly why... I mean, again, a lot of people love New Vegas. Yeah. A lot of people loved Fallout 3.
Yep.
But I think Fallout 4 is what people are basically suggesting, that this is now going to be the fulfillment of the promise of open world games again, but this time in the Fallout setting.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Fallout 3, again, does deliver a lot on that open world stuff, but I think Bethesda improved with Skyrim, and they'll probably improve again. All of the stuff, I think that their marketing campaign has been really smart, has been very community focused.
It's also been, like, subdued, like, in terms of, like, we're going to put out a huge trailer. It's like, they basically put out a couple things around E3 and then have been, like,
but those things were huge, right?
Yeah,
like, they described, hey, everybody, there's this crafting system. Here's this crazy amount of stuff that we've shown you about the crafting system. All of the perks have been basically revealed at this point.
Yeah.
There's a lot of information out there. It just so happens they doled it out in the one fat chunk, let the community sort of feed on it, and then did it a couple more times, and then that's that. Because they know that that's enough.
Yeah. To me, like, looking at it from the outside, that crafting stuff just scares me. It's like, oh my God, like, this game is this, I don't even want to know how many hours I've spent with Metal Gear. And, like, here's another open world game.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, it has crafting.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
The building, like, of your tower, your forward operating base of the Boston apocalyptic landscape.
Oh man.
Yeah. I mean, that stuff is daunting because you know that you can invest into it.
Yeah.
One would hope that you don't have to, right?
Yeah,
that's always sort of been... In fact, that's sort of been the thing that Fallout's and Bethesda generally has proven, right?
I mean, the classic thing of, like, you can blow this town up and there goes
you
your quest.
Do whatever you want,
exactly,
right?
Yeah.
They've generally fulfilled their obligation on that side. So one would hope it'd be the same in this case.
Yeah. I'm thinking about it. It might be one of those that I, like, come back to after a while. Like, I don't know.
I think this is probably the most... I would say that this is probably the most anticipated game of the past, like, 5 years. Like, this feels like everyone is talking about Fallout. Everyone wants this game to come out.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe Destiny.
Yeah, Destiny was big. I feel like The Witcher got really big there for a minute, but, like, Fallout was...
But I mean, a lot of people did, but no one played The Witcher's 1 and 2 at the scale that people played the Fallout games.
That's true. the audience was not as big.
Right.
I don't have a huge amount of experience with it, so like I'm looking at this as it's probably never been as accessible. Yes. So this is the point. You know, this is the point at which maybe jumping on makes sense.
And this is why, I mean, going back to just the general conversation of RPGs, it's kind of an interesting time because there are a lot of options in terms of RPGs, and a lot of big ones. Like, these are crazy big AAA games. I mean, you can play Persona because you can always play Persona. Mm. But right now, I feel like things are pretty good on the Western RPG front and the Japanese RPG front, if you're into that as well.
Yeah. Should we talk about another Japanese RPG?
Yeah, do you want to?
So this, again, I'm like way out of the loop here, because apparently...
We're not 12.
Yeah, we're not Japanese. We're not Japanese 12-year-olds, but since what was it, like 2013 or something?
Mm-hmm.
Yo-Kai Watch. Has been like a huge thing.
I was hoping this was like a Apple Watch game.
Well, that's actually one thing that we should chat about. But so there's this... stop me if you heard this one before, but there are various spirits and beasts and monsters out there in the world.
Okay.
You can catch them.
Can I catch them all?
Can you?
I don't know.
That's the question. You can then use them and fight and use them to fight other beasts and spirits and
sounds
and
a lot animals. Like Pokemon.
Yeah. Or Digimon.
Or Digimon
or Yu-Gi-Oh.
Yeah, Yu-Gi-Oh.
Or Persona.
Okay. I'll give you that.
The point is that there is another monster collection style game.
And this just came out in America last week.
Yeah. So I was thinking about playing it now that it's like, oh my gosh, this is like the new hottest craze or whatever
on
in
the
Japan.
3DS.
And it's on 3DS. I haven't played anything on my 3DS for a long time.
It's level 5. I mean, they're great. I like level 5 a lot.
Exactly. The pedigree, right? Level 5. So that's Phoenix Wright.
The Professor Layton Phoenix Wright.
Professor Layton Phoenix. Yeah. The Professor Layton Cross Phoenix Wright.
Yeah. All the Professor Layton
stuff. All the Layton stuff. Ni No Kuni.
Ni No Kuni. Great game. Oddly enough, also about spirits.
Yeah, exactly. Collecting spirits and using them to fight against each other. But you know, Ni No Kuni, my favorite game that I never finished. It looks fun. It looks also like... it's one of those things where it's unapologetically about its own world.
Yes.
Kind of like Pokemon, you know, where it's like...
Yeah, there's like these trailers for the cartoon that are just so awkward.
Yeah.
Like I feel like if you are out of that circle, this looks... it looks terrible. I think it honestly looks so weird and not for me. But my guess is if I had played it for like 3 or 4 hours, I'd be like, fuck yeah, gotta catch
them. Yeah. Gotta catch them all.
Yeah, like gotta catch my fucking weird spirit monger, like, you know...
I was thinking that, you know, this is, and certain people have brought this up already, but this is one of the first games like this that has come out on the 3DS in kind of the post-smartphone explosion, you know?
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Pokemon is a pre-smartphone game that has ridden its popularity into the smartphone era.
Yes. Yeah.
This is a game that came out of what, 2013? Like, you know, the smartphone explosion had happened already. Like, to me, the idea that a game about going into various areas of the world and finding spirits that are hiding there, it's like, why isn't this on a phone? And why is this not an ARG?
Yep.
You know, like...
Well, I mean, Pokemon World is coming out.
I know. That's what I was thinking about. It was like, this is like Pokemon World, except they invented it almost 3 years ago. What are they doing?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, the way that you interact with Yo-Kai Watch in all of the gameplay trailers that I've seen seem like they're really focused on the touch interface.
Yep.
That to me screams like, hey, you know what? This is the game that you want because it has learned from mobile gaming, but it's not a mobile game.
Yeah.
So don't worry about, you know, having to play it all the time. You're not going to get fucking push notifications. You know, like nothing like that is going to happen. You can consume it here and
your Yo-Kais are leaving.
Can we get a spirit game, by the way, where like the spirits are just actual dead people?
Well, I mean, isn't there like a Pokemon that's technically dead or something?
No, but I mean, like, I think it'd be funny to have, like, Yo-Kai Watch, and it's like, oh, man, I caught Grandpa.
Grandpa, go.
Yeah. Old Man Withers, I choose you. Hey.
Use this vaguely racist rant. It's not very effective. Yeah, I don't know. I think that, you know, I haven't played a Pokemon game for a long time.
Yep.
I haven't played something that has been built from the ground up as a 3DS game rather than like a translated Game Boy game that's kind of like, you know, somehow evolved into.
Tell you what, let's make a deal. I'll play Fallout 4. You play Yo-Kai Watch. I feel, you know.
We'll just see what happens.
It's basically comparable.
I'm kind of into this idea. Both of them are dystopian hellscapes.
Yeah, exactly.
One is
full
just
of
like,
dead things.
Exactly. One is just has like a, you know, a perky tween that, you know.
I mean, what's the difference between a Yo-Kai Watch and a Pip-Boy? Really?
That is true, though. And like, can I get a pre-order Yo-Kai Watch if I do like the $100 like?
Also, what do these games say about wearables? Look for that think piece on BuzzFeed.
I mean, that's the other thing. Like, can you imagine if your Apple Watch was your Yo-Kai thing? You had a little spinner on it. You can tell like.
I mean, complete tangent, sort of tangent. Are you excited about Pokemon World at all?
I mean, all I really know about Pokemon World is that little teaser that came out.
Didn't they announce recently that they're going to have actual gyms? Like, they're going to have locations
brick
set
and
in the world.
Gyms?
No, I mean, I don't think it's going to be like some dude's house. Like, come in.
Well, I mean, but I was listening to my brother and me, and Griffin McElroy was saying that he is going to create like a hillscape for children. His gym is going to be vicious.
Good, like, yeah. Where like random people will interrupt you as you're walking.
Yeah,
along,
exactly.
Fight me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that they're going to add gym. So I think certain places in the world will. Basically face you with a variety of you know, large puzzle or group.
So it's a location-based.
I think
like,
it's location-based. Well, the whole game is location-based, right?
But I mean, can you be like the Foursquare gym leader?
Dude,
of
I don't
the,
know. That's what I'm saying is
yeah.
I can imagine that there will be people who have collected them all and therefore have traversed the entire world or something, right? Like I can imagine some guy being like, oh, I can't come to school today because I need to go to the middle of the Arizona desert and catch myself a fucking Chimchar.
The reason I went to the North Pole is because
people will die hunting Pokemon.
I mean, I don't know. I think it's kind of cool. In conclusion, RPGs are coming fast and furious, and I fear for my free time.
Yes,
but it's kind of cool. I think that we're in this point where RPGs are. I mean, they are kind of both the open world thing, and there's like a weird multiplayer component to it. It's kind of a. It's where shooters were a little while ago.
I feel like not 3 months ago on this very podcast, we were throwing shade on Final Fantasy and asking, like, where's the JRPG?
Well, I mean, I think it's because
it's subsumed.
We actually both liked Final Fantasy 13.
Right.
We just tapped out after, like, a few hours.
Which is okay.
Yeah. Which I think could very well happen with Yo-Kai Watch. But, I mean, like, I think...
And Fallout 4 and Persona 4.
I mean, the thread between all of these games is that there is either the potential for something pretty new or it is kind of a novel take on something. Like, Final Fantasy, I feel like I kind of know what was going on. I was somewhat proved wrong with, like, Final Fantasy 13, but, like, the idea of what Final Fantasy is was not as alluring because there's been, like, 13 of them.
Yes.
So it's just kind of, like, there's some fatigue there, but, like, I am somewhat interested in the madness that is the Final Fantasy series now.
Yeah.
What's that one with the car that they're driving around in?
Summer Tour Simulator with the boys.
I mean, like, there's main Final Fantasies coming out. There's the MMO that everyone likes. Like, Final Fantasy is actually... 14. Like, I take all that back. Final Fantasy is kind of, like, weirdly innovative in its own weird Final Fantasy way.
Right.
I mean, it's... they're just... All those RPGs are in kind of a cool place. Like, there's just a lot to do with all of them.
Yeah, it's funny because it feels like so many of the people that are the heavy hitters in that space have sort of hit their stride.
Yes.
And everything feels okay.
Yeah.
I don't know how many... Well, I mean, even Undertale is really popular right now.
Yep.
I'm not quite sure what that game is. I'm going to presume that there are some RPG elements to it.
There's also a lot of games that are like kind of close in name, like Underwell or whatever that other one
Underwhale.
Was. Underwearable.
Underwear.
That's another thing. Like, I'm not even completely sure what that game is. But whatever. I mean, there's a lot out there. Okay, so Fallout 4 and Yo-Kai Watch.
Yo-Kai Watch, yeah.
Check our dual Let's Play.
I think I'm winning. I drew the long stick on this one, I think.
Maybe. I mean, based on your experience with Fallout 3, not necessary.
Well, I'm wondering, maybe I should go try to be evil again, because that's what ruined Fallout 3 for me.
It's true.
So maybe I'll just be an asshole and see what happens.
I'll try to be evil in Yo-Kai Watch, dude.
I don't think that's possible.
I'll just try to be very cruel to my Yo-Kai.
You kidnapped the ghost of my grandma.
She's mine now. She fights for me. All right, everyone. We will leave it there. experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And experiencepoints.net is our high school. Come and say hello.
You know, you want a good social link with us?
Yeah, increase our social link by leaving us a star rating on iTunes and Stitcher.
It's like a full social link. You like seeing all those stars.
Oh, man. That's so satisfying when your social link goes up.
It's like a huge, like...
It's like...
The screen kind of like explodes into this. Awesome. Yeah,
so good.
All right. Until next time, everyone, thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
Ciao. Go to, because I